Thank you, dear listeners, for joining us in those collective prayers. We now continue with our broadcast of the Thursday Live. Now it's time for the segment Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Brother Bishu is still not with us. In fact, Brother Bishu is heading towards the Sri Satya Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, where we're happy to announce that the Sri Satya Central Trust will be handing over medical supplies for the 14 quarantine centers that are being set up by the Anantapur District Collector. The handing over is happening anytime from now at the Sri Satya Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, and we have a team over there who is there to cover that event, and Brother Bishu is part of that team. So I'm here to play for you a talk that he has asked us to play for you, and that'll be today's Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And the theme of that talk that he has asked us to play is Levels of Service. This was a talk that he had the opportunity to deliver a couple of years back, so I'll be playing that for you. And even as I leave you to listen to that prayer, here is another prayer that you join us again at 6:45 this evening for the collective prayers. Even as we pray, let us pray for the health and welfare of all those frontline health workers who are battling it out there for all of us. And the handing over today is just a gesture of appreciation from all of us. It's a beautiful Thursday, and it is almost like Swami's Prasadam reaching out to all of these people who are going to put their lives at stake and are going to care for the people who need it in all of these centers. So let us keep all of these people, not only in the district of Anantapur, in the state of Andhra Pradesh, in India, all around the world. I think there's never been a time in recent history when so many health workers have come together and have shown us what sacrifice and what true service is. So let us keep them in our prayers, and let us hope that Swami's grace engulfs all of them and protects them even as they serve us. With that, over now to the talk that Brother Bishu has asked us to play for him, Levels of Service. Myself and Brother Arvind will join you at the end of it at 12:30, as always, for the resumption of our satsang on the Conversations with Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, a book compiled by Dr. Hislop. For now, over to the talk by Brother Bishu.
Tatsaviturvarenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodaya. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Pahi Mahesha, He Jagadisha. Pahi Mahesha, He Jagadisha. Dehi, Dehi, Tava Pada Seva. Dehi, सेवा पाहि महेशा हे जगदीशा पूरण ब्रह्म सनातन स्वामी पूर्ण ब्रह्म सनातन स्वामी जय हो जय हो अंतर्यामी जय हो अंतर्यामी पाहि महि हे जगदीशा देहि देहि तव पद सेवा देहि देहि तव पद सेवा तव पद सेवा देयर इज नथिंग मोर फॉर्चुनेट देन द ब्लेसिंग ऑफ सर्विंग द लॉर्ड नो मोमेंट greater in sublimity than you at the lotus feet of the Lord in utter submission. I remember those times in Vrindavan, in Trai Vrindavan, when after the bhajan sessions in Sai Ramesh Hall, we would wait for the sign from Bhagwan to go into Trai Vrindavan. And the moment the sign is received, all the boys would just rush. It would be a mad rush to get the prime place, to get the first row in Trai Vrindavan where you have Bhagwan's Jhula, and you have the opportunity then, if you actually sit in the first row, then when Bhagwan comes, after he sits on the chair, you can quietly push Bhagwan's footstool below the Jhula and then you can actually have Bhagwan's feet on your lap. Your lap becomes Bhagwan's footstool. And you have this opportunity for more than an hour when Bhagwan would gladly allow his feet to rest on your feet and you have the chance to actually massage the Lord's feet. That is the priceless moments of life. Whenever you think about those moments, your hair stand on end, you think about what a blessing it is to touch the Lord, to serve the Lord, and through these acts, through these opportunities, the Lord taught us what is service. The Lord taught us how we must serve. He lived a life of love. The finest expression of love is sacrifice and service. And if you walk on this path of service, there are so many stages that one has to go through. When I think of it, it starts with, I serve because I want a good reputation. I think that is how service is at a very basic level for many people. You want to serve because you want to earn a good name. In fact, to the depths of low, this has reached in the current times, shocks me and saddens me, because I know of certain countries in the West, certain countries also in the East, where if you want to punish someone, then you ask him to do mandatory social service, as if service is a replacement for going into jail, as if social service is a thing to be abhorred, a thing to be detested from, as you would want to detest from going to prison. It is the travesty of service. We have brought down service to such a low level in our current modern psyche that we'll tell, okay, you have committed this crime, you have committed this theft, so either you stay for a month in jail or go and do social service for 2 days. It is a travesty of service when service is made as a mandatory, made to do thing for amnesty. There also, if you see, you do service because you want to earn a good reputation. So you say you are an evil guy, now you go and do some service so that you earn some good name. So that is where perhaps service starts. I serve because I want to earn a good reputation. And the lengths to which people go to earn this good reputation, Bhagwan used to narrate the story of a rich businessman who wanted to donate fans to a school. So he visits the school, he inspects the rooms, and he decides on the number of fans that he has to donate. And then what he does, he inscribes his name on all the blades of the fan. So in all the 3 blades of the fan, very boldly his name can be seen. And very happily he donates the fans to the school. And after a few days, when he inspects, he comes to the school to see how the fans are looking with his name on it. Are people thinking about him? Is everyone grateful to him? Is the principal beholden to him? And so when he enters into a classroom, he sees that the fan is rotating. And because the fan is rotating, the inscriptions on the blades of the fan cannot be seen. And now he is upset. So what is the point? I had my name inscribed on the blades of the fan, and now fan rotates, nobody can see my name. What is the point? So the whole point of giving the fan was to collect fans, not to really help the children get over the summer. So when service is done for show, it is like an arrow without a bow. It is empty. It is meaningless. So I serve because I want everyone to applaud me. And then you have varieties of people. There are people, especially you will find celebrities, they go out to an orphanage once in a blue moon. They go and distribute something, and what they are more interested in is the press photographer there. That is more important. More important than how many orphans are there is the press photographer there. Because it is very important that someone clicks this picture and it appears in the newspaper that so and so had gone to an orphanage and he distributed this. Doesn't matter if there are 10 orphans or if there are 5 orphans. Even if he's there with 2 orphans, it is fine. But the press should have taken that picture and it should be reported. And you want to give that plastic smile with all these orphans. So service done for plastic smile is futile. It is absolutely futile. So this is, in my understanding, the first stage where I serve because I want to earn a good reputation for whatever reason. You have a lot of organizations, even corporate entities, who have their funds earmarked for corporate social responsibility and who undertake projects, but their whole point is that I should be able to project this somewhere so that people think of my company as a company which is quote-unquote responsible and quote-unquote citizen-friendly, and you want to create that image. So you do it only because you want that image. Just like someone, a youngster who is preparing his CV, his biodata, he wants to show off, he wants to come off as a person who has a golden heart. So along with all the other credentials in the CV, he also wants to add that, you know, he went for a summer camp to help the disadvantaged. You want to add that also on your CV so that the employer feels that you are a person with a beautiful heart and your heart always reaches out for everyone. So I serve because I want to earn a good reputation. Next is, I serve because I want to reach out. I really want to reach out. I serve because I want to reach out to others. In the first case, I serve because I want to earn a good reputation through others. In the second case, I want to reach out. I serve because I want to reach out to others. There are all these people who are poor, who do not have good food, who do not have good clothing, and I want to go and do something for them. Why do I want to do it? Well, I want to do it because I think it makes me happy. It is like for someone going on a trek, going on an adventure, that makes him happy. So he goes on a bicycle expedition, that makes him happy, so he does that. For someone else, if he goes out and gives something, the acclamations and the adulations that he gets, you know, every time he goes there and all the children praise him, and you know, you receive a high. This is a different kind of a high, where you go and serve, you go and give out something, and you know, all these orphans, they look up to you as God, they look up to you as a benefactor. That is some sort of a different kind of pleasure. You love that pleasure. I serve because I want to lessen the discomfiture of others, because for me it is a pleasurable adventure. For me it is a feeling nice adventure. For someone else, that high comes from something else. For me, the high comes if I go and do something like this. And for many others, to lessen the discomfiture of others is not only a pleasurable adventure, it is for them a fashionable adventure. Yeah, it's fashionable actually. In certain circles, if you're going even once in 3 months and doing something, the whole of next 3 months, whenever you meet a friend, even as you start talking, within the first five sentences, it'll just come out, you know what, actually last Sunday. So he will tell, how are you? And I was good. And he will say, you know, how are you doing? And he'll say, I was there. I just came back from my son's place. Immediately, you don't even wait. You'll tell, you know, yeah, last Sunday, you know what, I actually had gone to this orphanage and I did this. Oh, wow, you're amazing. You did that? Oh, great. So you never lose an opportunity to talk about it. It is something you want to show off. It's a fashionable thing, actually. In certain circles, it's a fashionable thing. Something gets added to your personality. You want to have that thing also. So I serve because to lessen somebody's discomfiture is for me a pleasurable adventure, or for me a fashionable adventure. Of course, there are various kinds of this stage of service. For someone, it is a thing to talk about. And the third stage, I serve because I want to earn the grace of the divine. I serve because I want his blessings, because there are a lot of things happening in my life. And if I don't serve him, who will look after me? So, I do something for God, so that God will do something for me. So, the purpose of service is that I have to please God with my acts, so that tomorrow when I need him, he will do things for me. Sometime back, I was talking to a person who serves in the mandir, in the Sai Kulwant Hall, and he is a diligent worker, fantastic commitment. Every morning he would come, even now, he comes 4 o'clock to mandir, and he has his duties which only he does, and he is there till 11 in the morning. He returns again at 2:33. He is there till 7:38 in the mandir. Amazing commitment. And you ask him, you know, what motivates you to serve? He says, no, I serve because if I do something for Swami, you know, Swami will take care of me. And he gives examples. You tell him, why are you not even taking one day off? Go on a vacation. Whole year you have served. He says, no, this year is a very, very astrologically not so good year for me. And I have to be in mandir and I have to serve because, you know what happened? Other day I was doing some exercises in the gym and I had this 40-50 kgs weight. I was doing this weight lifting and suddenly that thing broke and the bar landed on my head. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. You know why nothing happened? Because I'm serving Swami. I'm not taking any remuneration, no. I'm doing it freely, no. So because I'm serving, see, Swami has saved me. And other day I was going in the scooter, the same person narrates. I know this time is not good for me, it's a very bad time. And there was this guy, this auto rickshaw fellow, I don't know where they turn, when they turn, they simply came and dashed. And I would have actually fallen. Nothing happened to me. You know why it did not happen? Because I'm serving in mandir. So that conviction is so steady, so firm that if I do something for Swami, Swami will take care of me. And you have many people who are absolutely convinced of this, and the Lord obviously does take care. I know of so many youth. I remember I had gone to Sri Lanka. There was a youth retreat about a year ago, and the secretary of the organization there is again someone who is so committed to organizational work. He would drop his office responsibilities also at times, but never compromise on organizational work. When I asked him, what is your inspiration? One of the things he said is, see, if I do organization work, Swami will take care of my office. Swami will take care of my family. That is what drives him. And he gives me an example. When the Sri Lankan war was going on in the Jaffna area, he had a lot of lands in those areas. All those areas were taken over by the army, and a lot of people lost all their properties in North Sri Lanka. And he moved down to Colombo, and he says, suddenly he gets a call after the peace treaty is signed and, you know, the war subsided. Suddenly he gets a call saying that this particular piece of land, we have gone through the records and people who can claim ownership for it can come and pick it up. So he goes, and there are a lot of papers, a lot of formalities. You have to go to the military and they have to be fully sure, and in the military a lot of things happen in front, behind, sideways, and you never know whether anything you are going to get out of it. But almost quite miraculously, he gets that land and he says, you know, I have got that land and now I get revenue from that. I never thought, I spent so much on organizational work and now I get a revenue stream which I had never expected. I never thought that I would be getting this, but it is happening. So it has convinced him that if I do God's work, God will look after my work. And that is the reason why he does not ever want to compromise, because you are afraid. Suppose I don't do Swami's work, then maybe something wrong will happen in my family. Maybe Swami will not look after my office work. Maybe Swami will not look after my child when he is sick. No, that propels you. It is return, reward, fear, everything mixed. But you are committed. As Bhagwan says, it is an employer-employee relationship. A laborer, suppose he is working for a master, he works because he gets the wages. And whether you like it or not, you work because you want the wages. Only thing is, here the situation is slightly different. You here want God's grace. Here your remuneration is God's grace. But you work because, you know, I have to work. I got to do this for my family. I got to do this for my professional work. I got to do this to survive. Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara. Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara. Partipuri Parameshwara. Pahi Pahi Parameshwara. Dehi Dehi Tava Pada Seva. So you want to serve because you want his protection. Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara. And so it is a relationship where whether you are interested in it or not, whether it appeals to you or not, you do. Oh God, again this seva. Now I took up this responsibility of being the Sevadal coordinator. So now I have to organize. Last Sunday only we organized this medical camp, but this Sunday also I have to do. What to do? I have this crown of thorns on my head. I am the Sevadal coordinator. So I have to organize this. So there are two things. When you are working with an employer, if you like the work, then you are very happy. You happily go every morning. Monday morning is always welcome. It is not Monday blues. But if you don't like the work, but still you go because you want the remuneration. So here, you have no freedom actually. Just like you have to go to the office because you will get your pay, otherwise you are not going to get your pay. So here also, you work because you want this protection from the Lord. And if an employer can give you that much money and convenience, will God not do? God will do. God will do much, much more. If you do little for him, he will do 10 times. He is always happy to do. At least you have him in your thoughts. You are engaging in something good. But just like if you are working for an employer, what you do after a while? I have been working for like 6 months. I have been doing this job and now I have become better. Don't you think you should give me a raise? Don't you think I deserve a bonus? So it's like that. You now tell, Swami, you know what? I've been doing Nagar Sankirtan now for 3 months continuously, every day without a break. I've been going for Nagar Sankirtan. 5 o'clock I get up and I do it. Not only that, Swami, actually I have now started going for Vedam chanting. So I do Nagar Sankirtan plus Vedam. So now, don't I deserve little more grace? So now you say, God, okay, from tomorrow I will do Nagar Sankirtan, Vedam, and I will just add one more thing. Maybe once in 2 weeks I will go and serve that poor lady in the shed. Swami, please, you just ensure that, you know, my son gets a good job. That's all I want. So that is a little bonus. Whatever you are giving me, that's fine, but I'm doing this little extra, no? So you also do, no, little extra for me. So it is sort of a deal with the divine. Just like people go to Tirupati and they offer their hair. Swami says, what will the Lord do with your hair? You think the Lord really wants your hair? But you know, we are so sure about it. We feel we have done the most amazing sacrifice. A hair which will just grow in another 30 days. But the God, He's so kind. He's so compassionate. Fine. It's okay. You have some good thoughts. You have done something in the name of God. You have done something good. And you want something in return? Yes. In this stage, I serve because I want to earn the grace of the divine. And in this case, you just cannot leave the job. There is no freedom. There is no freedom. And then comes a stage where I serve because I want to connect with the divine. I serve because that is the way I feel the presence of the Lord. I strive to ensure that there are smiles on other faces because I want to see the smile on His face. The whole purpose of me doing service is to envision a smile on Him. Envision a smile on His face. Tab seva ki avsar di jo Satya Sai Mahadev Tab Seva Ki Avsar Dijo Satya Sai Mahade. Ganamrit me bhav bhi dijo prem sai bhagwan Prema Sai Bhagavan Ganamrit me bhav bhi dijo Prema Sai Bhagavan Prema Sai Bhagavan Tab Seva Ki Avsar Dijo. When the super hospital was constructed many years ago, 1991, in the initial days of the hospital, there was a board of the names of all the donors. And there was this person from US who had contributed. He had visited the hospital 2-3 times and every time he would go to the hospital, he would look up the board and he would feel so great. You know, I contributed to Baba's hospital. If Baba's hospital happened, it is because people, a few of us like me, have contributed. So one day, he wanted to just let this be known to his US friends. A rich man, so his friends came in a chartered flight and they landed in the airport. He thought before he takes them to Mandir, before he takes them to Swami, he thought first he should take them to the hospital, let them know what Sai Baba has done with contributions of people like him. So, as soon as they landed, He took them to the hospital. As he took them into the dome area, the first thing he wanted to show them is that board. So he took them to the dome area and he said, "Can you see?" And he looked up. To his utter shock, that board is not there. All this while that board was there. What happened? In place of the board, today there are only two flower pots. And so he just cuts sorry face and shows them around the hospital, but he was all the time so depressed. You know, what is this? Where did the board go? The person who narrated to me this story is a person who was serving Swami inside Purnachandra Auditorium. And he told me, just before this person landed, that previous night Swami had told him to remove that board and put two flower pots. Just that previous night it had happened. I told you, the first stage of service, I serve because I want a good reputation. But God will allow us to start from there, but He is never happy. He wants us to at every point correct and keep raising our levels. So we started from there, and then we came to the fourth stage where I said, I serve because I want to connect with the Divine. I serve because I want to feel His presence. Many years ago, there was this person, Mr. T.G. Krishnamurthy, who was the state president of Satya Sai Organizations, Tamil Nadu. Bhagwan used to entrust him with many responsibilities. He was a very resourceful person. He was an industrialist. And there was this occasion when Bhagwan had asked him to bring some costumes for the students as the convocation drama was just 15 days away. The boys were practicing and Swami had told him to bring certain materials which the boys would be using for the drama. So he was coming from Chennai in a vehicle, something like a Maruti van. This is sometime in the 80s. His vehicle was in good speed. As he was coming from Chennai to Bangalore, there was this horrendous accident wherein his vehicle just went up in the air and made 2-3 rounds and then landed. The car doors flung open. He had 2 suitcases when he started off. One suitcase had his personal belongings and the second suitcase had the materials that he was bringing for Swami. And to his utter amazement, when he landed, he was not only alive, he was conscious. Nothing had happened, nothing serious had happened to him. And the most shocking thing is he saw that inside the car, one suitcase was still there. And that is the suitcase in which he had brought materials for Prashantanilayam. The suitcase in which he had brought his materials, it was gone somewhere in the valley. Because one side there was the mountain, the other side there was a valley. When he realized that he's still alive, he tried to get some help. And he felt that, you know, in this state he cannot go to Prashantanilayam because he was in utter shock. So he returned to Chennai and somehow he made some calls. And after he went to Chennai, he got his tests done. Everyone said, his relatives said, you know, you better get all your scans done. We don't know what would have broken where. So all the examinations were done and he was pronounced fit. He was not feeling anything odd, but everyone said, you don't know, you better get checked up. Because the car is completely smashed. It's not possible that nothing would have happened to you. So after resting for a while, then he again started for Puttaparthi. Now the journey was uneventful. He came to Prashantanilayam with his suitcase. As he was stepping into the Prashantanilayam veranda, just then Captain Oberoi, who was then the airport chief officer, he was coming out of Bhagwan's interview room. So Captain Oberoi saw Mr. T.G. Krishnamurthy and he said, "Oh, Mr. Murthy, how are you? Are you fine? How was the accident?" And he said, "How do you know about it?" Because he had not told anyone about it. Nobody knows except his family. And then, even before he could say anything, Captain Oberoi started narrating, "Yeah, I know you were coming on that day on this side. On one side was the hill, on the other side was the valley, and your car was speeding. And I know it hit that hedge and then it went top." And he started giving a commentary of whatever has happened. He said, "Not only that, I know that for the next 10 minutes, no cars and no vehicles from either side of the road came because Swami told me that he had to stop all the vehicles for the next 10 minutes and he had to allow only those one or two vehicles who will help you." He said, "How did you know?" He told, "You know what, when your accident happened, I was in the interview room and Swami was giving me a running commentary." I said, "Oh, wow." So, there is nothing that he had to tell Bhagwan. All he wanted to do is just express his gratitude to Swami. So he came and he was sitting in the Mandir portico. He just wanted to tell Swami. And Bhagwan emerged out of the interview room. Swami saw, but Swami turned the other side and he went towards the lady's side. And he could not tell anything. So Swami returned and he was trying to raise himself. You know, he just want to tell. He was looking for an opportunity just to go near him and convey gratitude to Swami. But again, Swami didn't even look at him. Swami just again went into the interview room. And he's like, Swami, please. Again, Swami comes out. He goes off for bhajans. Does not look at him. Bhajans are over. Swami comes out of the bhajan hall. And he's trying to get up. Again, he becomes transparent to Swami. Swami goes inside. And in those days, Swami would have his meals immediately after bhajans. Swami comes out. Says, okay, now this is the last time. Now Swami will retire. So he's itching to get up. But Swami is again not looking at him. But finally, after walking a few steps, Swami suddenly turns. And Swami just looks at his shoulder. And Swami just raises his eyebrows. How are you? How is the shoulder? That's all. Only through gestures. Because there was only a small scratch on his shoulder. That's all. He does not get an opportunity to tell Swami anything. So he's very disappointed. He goes to his room. Suddenly a sevadal runs. And he tells, Swami is leaving to Bangalore. And Swami wants that you also leave for Bangalore immediately. So he immediately calls a cab and he tries to follow Swami's car. Swami reaches Bangalore. That evening, there is a function. It was Buddha Purnima or some such celebration in the month of May. And there was a function in the Sai Kishan Kalyan Mandapam. So as this function is going on, Swami is presiding over this function. Swami suddenly asks for T.G. Krishnamurti. And so he goes near Bhagwan and Swami tells, speak. T.G. Krishnamurti was someone, whenever he got a chance to speak, he would speak on Bhagavatam. That was his forte, that was his core competency. He had many stories to tell about Bhagavatam. He had learned Sanskrit and studied the Bhagavatam. So whenever Swami would give him chance to speak, we have always heard enough stories of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. That day, when he got up to speak, he started his usual Bhagavata stories and Swami stopped him. Swami called him and said, Ledu, accident gurinchi cheppu. Talk about the accident. He says, okay. So he starts about the accident and he narrates the entire sequence of events. Finally, he says, if I am alive today, it is because of Swami's grace. And he falls at the feet of Bhagwan and says, Swami, it is you who saved me, Swami. Now is an opportunity. He was waiting for this chance to just fall at his feet and tell him, Swami, it is you who saved me. Thank you so much. So he does that now and Swami says, no, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Swami, it is you only who saved me, Swami. It was such a terrible accident. There's no way I could have survived. But for your grace, Swami, please. No, I didn't do anything. Swami, you didn't do anything. Swami, I don't pray anyone else. I have no other God. I pray only to you. You are the only one for me, Swami. Please. No, I know I didn't do anything. Then who saved me, Swami? If you didn't save me, who saved me, Swami? Swami said, see, whenever you did any service project, whenever you did anything good, the moment people congratulated you, the moment you received any approbation, the moment you received any commendation, you were so clear that it is not you, that you are doing it for Swami, you should dedicate it to me. So, automatically, it used to come to me. And because of that, you have built so much of karmic balance on the positive side. You have such good karma. Because whatever you did, you said, I am doing it for you, Swami. But Swami said, I didn't do anything. It is your balance of sat karmas which has saved you. So, in the fourth stage, I serve because I want to feel the presence of the Divine. Many years ago, Bhagwan had gone to the super speciality hospital. Swami was showing around some distinguished visitors. And one of the faculty members happened to be there. He had just donated blood. Generally, when Bhagwan goes to the hospital, you know, people don't crowd around because Swami would like that each person serves at his respective location. And you don't create a commotion following Swami wherever he goes. He never likes the work to be disrupted because of his presence. So this faculty member, he was in the blood bank. He had just given blood. And he thought that there's a great likelihood that Swami will come to the blood bank because Swami would often make a visit with the guests. And he thought it's a great opportunity to be in the blood bank because when Swami sees me, he will definitely ask, what are you doing? Because he's from the university. Here is a chance to tell Swami that I have donated blood. I mean, you have an opportunity to physically tell Swami that you have done this act of service. It is one thing to do and tell the omniscient Swami, but here you have an opportunity to physically tell Swami. So he was in the blood bank, and so he was waiting for Swami. Swami came. So as Swami was leaving, Swami suddenly spots him, and Swami asks him, "What are you doing?" So he says, "Swami, I came here to give blood." And I say, "Oh, you gave blood." Then Swami says, "Very good. Did you give me?" Swami says that. Swami says, "Did you give me?" And this faculty member is thinking, does Swami need blood? Swami said, "Did you give me?" What does he mean? You know, it never struck him for very long. What is the meaning? Why did Swami say, "Did you give me?" I mean, you don't give blood to Swami. Only later it came to him as a flash that Swami was asking, "Did you offer it to me?" Just because you donated that blood, you're all the time waiting there to tell Swami, "I have done this act," and you want to get some brownie points. You think this is an opportunity. Who knows, Swami will be so happy, will just create and give me a ring or a chain, vibhuti, anything can happen. Because we have seen that. If you really actually serve in front of Swami, the compassionate Lord that He is, always you will see Swami want to reward you with something. We've seen that on so many occasions. He would be so happy when He actually sees you serving. So here Swami was asking him, "Did you give me?" So, this fourth stage, I serve because I want to feel the presence of the Divine. I serve because I want to see the smile on His face. I serve because I dedicate every action for Him. I serve because I want to do it for His pleasure. When I am in this attitude, it does not matter whether I am getting anything out of it or not. In the previous stage, I serve to earn the grace of the Divine. So I do something for the Lord so that the Lord will do something for me. Here I do not do anything because the Lord will do something for me. Here I serve because I want to feel the Lord in me. I feel so much peace. I serve because it just fills me with so much of Him. I remember talking to Mr. Peddareddy. If you know who is Peddareddy, he was a caretaker of Sai Gita, Swami's pet elephant, for decades. For 40 years, Mr. Peddareddy never stepped one foot beyond the Sai Gita shed on one side of Prashantinilayam and beyond the canteen and Prashantinilayam Mandir on the other side. His duties were to look after Sai Gita, and he was the manager of the South Indian canteen for some time before he took over full time as Sai Gita caretaker. So, for 4 decades, he has spent every inch of his time only looking after Sai Gita or going and serving the devotees in the canteen. And I asked him, "Okay, now Sai Gita is not there. Don't you feel like going for a vacation? I mean, you have spent all your life like this." Everybody, you know, now Swami is also physically not there. People go to Badrinath, Kedarnath. Everyone is going to different places. Why didn't you take off? Why didn't you go someplace? I used to feel sorry. I used to feel that, you know, Papam, this man has missed so many things in life. His life has been so small and so short and so limited. He just missed everything in life. Just serving one elephant all your life. I used to always think that I feel so sorry for him. Because if you look at him, he's so unassuming a person. His dresses also would not be actually pressed. He would just wash it on his own and wear it. He would cut his own hair. His monthly expenditure is not more than 50 rupees. And I used to feel, come on man, enjoy life, at least do something. And he tells me, "What makes you think that there is even an element of incompleteness or sorrow or unhappiness?" He told me, "I feel very sad when I look at all these people, so miserable they are, running after so many things. See, I am so much at peace. You see how blessed I am. Swami has just filled me with so much peace. I don't get any other thought. I am so much at peace. You know what? I don't have any desire only. You don't think that I can eat this or I can maybe visit that place. To know why. I don't know why. I don't even have that desire. All I want is, if I have time, earlier I used to serve Sai Gita, now I just read some Swami's books and I am so much at peace. You know what? I feel like I am the happiest person in Prashantinilayam and I am the richest person because Prashantinilayam is my father's place and this whole thing belongs to me. I am the richest and I am the happiest." He made me feel so small. I was thinking he's so small. I serve because I want to connect with the Divine and I want to feel the presence. So it does not matter if Swami has looked at me, if Swami has talked to me, if Swami has looked after my children's education, if Swami has ensured that my wife is happy, if Swami has ensured that my grandson got a job. It doesn't matter. Because I don't serve so that Swami will look after my grandson's promotion. I serve because I want to connect with the divine. There was this interesting incident that happened in the interview room. One day, there was a group of youngsters. Generally, after Swami finishes the interview, Swami would take the vibhuti bag. He will hold it in one hand and then he would give vibhuti packets to everyone. There was this faculty member who was there in the interview room. As Swami finished the interview session and was just stretching himself to the windowsill to pick up this bag, there was this other youngster who jumped and he took that bag. He wanted to do that service. So he took that bag, and the moment that happened, Swami looked at this faculty member and said, "See, can you see how sensitive, how alert he is to serve?" And this faculty member felt so terrible because he's a faculty member. He was a student and he should have done it. There was some devotee who did it and Swami was teaching him, and so he was waiting for the next opportunity. He thought, next time I get a chance, you know, I will not miss it. So the next day interview, luckily Swami calls him, and the whole interview, his mind is not on what Swami is telling. His mind is only waiting for that last minute. The moment Swami stretches to pick that bag, he has to somehow jump, overshoot Swami and pick the bag. That's the whole intention of that interview session for him. And he's just ready, you know, waiting for a 100-meter sprint. It's that kind of readiness. And the interview is over and Swami is trying to grab the bag and he jumps and he holds the bag. And Swami is like, "Hello, what are you trying to do? You're almost shaking me up. Calm down." But at the same time, Swami smiles. Swami is very happy. This guy has learned the lesson. The moment this happens, Swami looks at another youth in the interview room and says, "See, that is how the chain goes. What did the Lord do? He was continuously trying to teach us. He was using one person. Every person was an instrument to teach us how to serve, how to be sensitive, how sensitive we should be." Bhagwan used to say that it is like if your left foot is hurt, your right hand immediately goes and removes the thorn. Your right hand doesn't think, "Oh my God, it's a left foot and the left hand can do the job, or the left foot has not asked me what is my job, I can just stick to my business." No, you don't think about so many things. The moment something happens to the left foot, the right hand just goes. You don't even think, it's an instant reaction. Swami says that is how sensitive we should be, and that is the final stage of service. When will we be that sensitive? When we feel that oneness. Why does the right hand jump to save the left leg? Because it does not feel that it is different. Because it feels that it is part of the same being. It does not need a motivation to go. It does not need a reward. It just does it because just natural. It is as natural a mother to feed the child. Every time the mother feeds the child, it is not looking for what will come out of it. Will the child look after me in the end? You know, you don't think about all that. Every time you serve, you just do it. So the final stage of service: I serve because I am divine. I serve because it is my very nature. The Lord served because it is a very nature. Paropakarartham idam shariram. The very purpose for which life is given, every breath is given, is to serve. And that is what we saw in Swami. We know of this incident from Bhagwan's childhood. When Bhagwan was ferrying water, when he was studying in Uruvakonda, he used to walk every day 6 miles, 3 times a day. And he had these 2 pots tied to a pole. And he used to walk these 6 miles, 3 times a day to collect water, and after a few months of doing that, there is this thickened, blackened skin on his shoulder. And when he returns to Prashantilam, and one day his mother is giving him oil bath, and that's when the mother notices, and the mother is shocked. Nobody had noticed that till now. The mother asks, "What is this?" And Swami just laughs it away. Young Satya laughs it away. Mother says, "No, you have to tell me." He says, "No, nothing, that is just something, you know." "No, you have to tell me," mother insists, and then Swami reveals that, "You know what, this is the work that I was doing. I was staying in my brother's place. No, they don't have water. They wanted water, so I used to do. So what used to happen is, because I used to get water for brother's place, neighbors also used to ask me. So I used to get water for so many families, you know, I have to make trips. So that's why it has happened, that's all." The mother says, "Come on, why did you do this? And we did not send you there to become a laborer. What was the need for you to do this? You are not going there. They are exploiting you. Do you realize?" Young Satya says, "What is exploitation, Amma? I am just serving. See, if I don't get water, how will they survive? Otherwise, they will have to drink the blackish water." "No. My very purpose of advent is to serve. I have come down for service only, Amma." This is before Swami declared his avatarhood, but he says this. "I have come down for service only, Amma. That's why I serve. I serve because that is my very nature. I serve because I am just that. I cannot do without service. Because the finest expression of pure love is selfless service, unconditional service and sacrifice. And that is what we saw in Bhagwan's life. And if there is anything that we have to imbibe in our lives, it is to always know that we exist not for ourselves. If we are serving, if we are not doing a favor to anyone, we are not doing a favor to God. If we are serving because it is at those points of time when we are serving, we are doing what we are meant to do with the human body on earth. Madhuvan khushbu deta hai, sagar savan deta hai, jina uska jina hai, jo aaron ko jeevan deta hai, madhuvan khushbu deta. The flower gives out fragrance because that is its nature to give fragrance. The sandalwood gives out those beautiful aroma. Even if you hit it, it will give more aroma because that is his nature to give aroma. The divine serves because it is his nature to serve. Why we should serve? Because that is our bounden duty to serve. Jina uska jina hai, jo aaron ko jeevan deta hai, madhuvan khushbu deta hai, jina uska jina hai. Let us pray to Swami that he gives us this understanding and this strength to lead a life where the fragrance of service all the time radiates from our beings. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Om Shant Shant Shant.